If you grab your copy of the Word of God, we'll be in Matthew chapter 6 this morning. Matthew chapter 6. Our passage will begin in verse 19. When you find your place, if you please stand with me for the initial reading of God's Word. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, he said, "Lay up not for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." Father, thank you for this opportunity to be in your word today. We pray that your spirit would move in our hearts and it would work to help us rightly divide your word this morning. We pray that your word would work your will. We pray that you would receive all the glory and honor this morning. And we do pray this in your name. Amen. You may be seated. We'll start a brand new series this morning that we've entitled Treasures in Heaven. And our intention throughout this series, I'll just be straightforward with you, is to challenge you, right, to do a bit of a treasure inventory as we're starting off this brand new year, right, to do a little bit of introspection, so to speak, right, take a look at your life, identify areas where maybe your treasure, be it your time, your talents, or your money, where this may be misplaced, and commit to a shift to a focus on heavenly treasures, on eternal matters. Really, in short, my goal is to consider or have you maybe even reconsider your priorities as we head into this new year. Where are your thoughts? Right? What do you think about? Are your thoughts here on earth or are they in heaven? Is your mind on earthly things or is it on God? Right, are you seeking the things of earth or are you seeking the things of heaven? Right, where is your heart? Where is the focus of your heart? Is it focused here on the things of earth or is it focused on the things of heaven? Because the things that we consider to be of value, whether that thing is physical or otherwise, it says much about the focus of your heart. Listen, as adults, if I can just be straightforward with you, there is nothing more revealing than your checkbook. And I know we get a little bit on edge when we start talking about finances. But there's nothing more revealing when it comes to your priorities than your checkbook. There's a famous biographer, his name was Philip Goddala. And he was lecturing on the art of his craft. And he was discussing in this lecture some of the issues that he ran into in writing his work on the Duke of Wellington. And Mr. Goddala, he said that the hardest matter was not finding out what the Duke did. He said that was easy, but rather in discovering what sort of man he really was. And he goes on to state that the most dependable piece of evidence that he found was the Duke's checkbooks covering several years. He said here was a trustworthy testimony on what the man cared most about. Right, the concern of Christ this morning in our passage, it's money, it's possessions, it's material things. And his concern seems to be that we guard against centering our lives around houses, around furnishings, cars, lands, building, docks, stocks, you know, whatever it is that you treasure here on this earth. All the things that make up what we would consider security, things that we would consider to be wealth. And here's the issue, nothing on this earth is a good investment. That's Right? Nothing is secure. Nothing is lasting. Everything is aging, decaying. It's all wasting away. It's all corruptible. It is all deteriorating. In other words, it is all temporary. Right? The Lord wants us to center our lives around Him and around His kingdom. For everything about Him is life. Everything about Him is security. It's permanent. It's eternal. And to stir our thinking, He gives us some lessons on wealth and materialism. And so before we dive in to the verses, there seems to be a connection with regards to context to this portion of the Sermon on the Mount and its immediate preceding context, right? Verses 1 through 18, right? In this section, Jesus has contrasted the earthly reward of men's attention with the heavenly reward from the Father. And he uses examples. You can see them in those 18 verses of giving, examples of prayer and of fasting, right? And the idea is that if you're doing these things to be seen of men, to get men's attention, then that will be your reward. But unfortunately, that will be your only reward, is the attention from men. And so now, beginning in our passage in verse 19, he's contrasting the transience, so to speak, the fleeting nature of earthly treasures with the permanence of heavenly wealth. All of Matthew 6 is saying to us, look up. Unfortunately for us, our natural tendency is to look out at the world around us. So notice with me the problem first, the problem with earthly treasures. Look back at verse number 19. Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. Right, lay not up for yourself treasures on earth. In the original language, there's a bit of a play on the word treasure. It would read something like this, treasure not for yourselves treasures. He said, where moth and rust doth corrupt. Obviously, the idea is it eats away, it gnaws, it corrodes. Right, where thieves break through and steal, literally dig through. Right, this would have been easy to do through mud walls or sun-dried bricks. The Greeks would actually call burglars, they would call them mud diggers. He says, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth. This is a warning against the pursuit, the hoarding of these earthly treasures. Right, there are earthly treasures. Right, things that men desire. It includes material things, right? Clothing, cars, houses, such toys, jewelry, all things alike. But earthly treasures also include non-material things, right? Things of this world, like pleasure, like fame, like power, like professions even. Anything that dominates a person's life and holds it fast to this earth, we might consider an earthly treasure. A treasure is that which has value or worth to someone. And the issue is that men or humanity has been taking things and ascribing value to them since the very beginning, right? Things like stones, rocks, and dust, diamonds, and gold. Right, things like money, really just paper and metal. Things like property, we've deemed it ours. It's valuable, but it's all the Lord's. It's His land. He made it. Things like influence, power, attention from people even. And listen, despite what you've heard or despite what you think I'm getting ready to say, these things are not bad. Right, they're not bad. Nowhere in the Bible does Jesus magnify the poor and then criticize the legitimate getting of wealth. Listen, God made all things, including food, clothing, precious metals. God also, he made you. He knows that you have need of these things. Right? God knows that we need certain things in order to live. In fact, God, Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:17 that it was God who's given us richly all things to enjoy. Right? The problem's not that we possess things, but the problem comes when things possess us. Materialism, Wiersbe said this. He said, materialism will enslave the heart, the mind, and the will. Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. He went on to say, no man can serve two masters, for either he's going to hate the one, he's going to love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. Ye can't serve God and mammon. Right? If the heart loves material things and it puts earthly gain above heavenly investments, listen, the only outcome will be loss. It's the only possible outcome because earthly treasures are insecure. They are insecure, and they're insecure for a few reasons. Notice, Jesus said that they can be stolen. Listen, wealth is sought by many, many men. Right? It's sought by many. But what we often forget is wealth is already held by someone. Therefore, many times, we were just trying to figure out how to get what someone else already has. Right? It can be stolen. They don't last. They waste away. They're corruptible. There's something terrible that happens to everything on this earth. And it started back with the fall of man and the curse that God then put on man and this earth. Everything dies. Everything deteriorates. Everything decays. The earth itself is only here for a brief time, and then it will be no more. Everything has the seed of corruption with it. Proverbs 23, verse 5, it says, wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? He says, for riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle towards heaven. Right? And listen, the earthly treasures are insecure because a person can't take a single thing with them when they pass from this world. 1 Timothy 6, 7, for we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain that we can carry nothing out of this world. Right? It's been said that character is the only garment that we can weave in this world and wear into the next. Right? The love of wealth is a great evil, which Scripture provides many, many warnings against. And for believers, right, heirs of the kingdom of God, to hoard riches, this is particularly short-sighted. James said in James 5, verse 2, he said, your riches are corrupted, your garments are moth-eaten, your gold and silver are cankered, right? And the rust of them shall be witness against you. Ye shall eat your, or they shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Jesus says in the book of Luke that you would be a fool to seek an abundance of these things. Right, to grasp after more and more. And why does he say that? He says, because tonight or tomorrow or someday soon, God's going to look at you and say in Luke 12, verse 20, thou fool, for this night it shall be required. Thy soul shall be required of thee. Right? Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? So it is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. If we put our hope in the things of this world, we shall have no hope in the next. Right? If we store up treasure in this world, we shall have none in the next. Right? The treasure of this world will soon perish. It does not last. Moth and rust destroy it. Listen, just as flowers wither, men and women, we get old and our beauty fades if you had any to begin with. You guys are beautiful. That wasn't toward y'all. There's thieves too. Listen, illness is a thief. It steals our health. Death steals our life. Everything on earth, everything, even the earth itself passes away. Jesus said in John 6, 27, he said, labor not for the meat which perisheth. Right, for that meat which endures, but rather labor for that meat which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. Right? For him hath God the Father sealed. So how can we determine where our treasure is and thus where our hearts are? Right? Where does your mind naturally gravitate to in those moments just before bed when you fall asleep? What masters often fight for your allegiance? If someone analyzed your bank account or your calendar, what would they conclude is most important to you? If you notice in the trifold, these are a little bit sectioned out. They have blocks around them, check marks next to them. The intention is that they stand out. My intention is that you take these questions home. You ponder them again after the initial sermon. You put some thought to them. right? You use them to help you do a little bit of a treasure inventory in your life to figure out where your heart really is. Notice with me, point number two, the promise of heavenly riches. Right, we saw the problem with earthly treasures. Now notice the promise of heavenly treasures. Look in Matthew 6, verse 20. Jesus went on to say, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. Right, there's heavenly riches. There are things of heaven and in heaven that believers ought to be desiring, right? Christ calls these things treasures in heaven. And he says, store up for yourselves or lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. What does it mean then to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven? Right, Warren Wiersbe stated that it means to use all that we have for the glory of God. And he goes on to state, it also means measuring life by the true riches of the kingdom and not by the false riches of this world. Erwin Lutzer, he said this, treasures in heaven are accumulated by our attitude towards treasures or lack of them on earth. Listen, every good work that we do in this world, right, will be counted. It will be stored up, as it were, as a treasure in heaven. Right? When we do good on this earth, we're laying this foundation, so to speak, for ourselves in heaven. 1 Timothy 6:17, Paul wrote to Timothy and he told him this, charge them that are rich of this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. But listen, note with me, please, 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 if you've heard nothing else, hear this. This doesn't mean that we're saved by good works. Right, we're saved by grace through faith, right? Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you are saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. But listen, good works are external evidence of your faith. Right, true faith always produces good works. Just as a good tree produces good fruit, true faith is always going to produce good works. Whether we have true faith or not can be seen through our good works, right? And listen, for further study of this, and we don't have time to really delve into it today in this message, I'd encourage you to go home and look at James chapter 2. But in contrast to the transient nature, right, and this fleeting nature of earthly treasure, notice that heavenly treasures are secure. They are secure. Right, in the Sermon on the Mount, the actions that are specifically described as accumulating rewards, if you were to start back at chapter 5, they include things like suffering the persecution for Jesus' sake, loving one's enemies, gifts to the poor, fervent and sincere prayer, and humble fasting. Right, through these acts, through acts of love, through acts of faith and obedience, we deposit eternal treasures into the heavenly storehouse. Jesus says these things are worth treasuring. These things are of real and lasting eternal value. Right, in heaven, nothing corrupts, nothing terminates, no enemies plunder or destroy. Right, to have treasure in heaven is to be heirs of God, joint heirs even with Christ, to an inheritance that is incorruptible, it's undefiled, and it does not fade away. A rich young man, he once came to Jesus in Mark 10. And he asked, he said, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He's seeking heavenly treasures. Right? And Jesus told him in Mark 10, verse 21, he says, go thy way, sell whatever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. He said, and come and take up the cross and follow me. But he didn't take Jesus' advice. Right, he'd stored up his treasure here on earth. And then in verse 22, we see that he was sad at that saying, and he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Right, he didn't want to give it up, even to obtain eternal life. Right, truly, he had obtained his reward here on earth, and he had lost his reward in heaven. Someone once said, treasures in heaven are laid up only as treasures on earth are laid down. Look back at Matthew 6, verse 19 again. Jesus, he said this, lay up not for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. Notice with me the pronouns in these two verses. They are plural, right? Note the change then when we get to verse 21. He says, for where your treasure is, there where your heart be also. And this change to the singular, it emphasizes personal responsibility, right? As opposed to a corporate responsibility. In other words, even if other people don't listen, if nobody else in this building listens to what the Lord is saying, the one who hears Jesus' commands should obey. Forsake the treasures of this earth and seek heavenly treasures. Jesus taught concerning the problems with earthly treasure, and he also taught the promise of heavenly treasure, and he also shows us the power of a focused heart. Look at verse 22. He said, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? The eye in Scripture, it often symbolizes focus, our spiritual focus and direction. And both here and in Luke 11:34, the eye is called single in a moral sense, right? The word actually means, in the literal translation of the original word, it actually means without folds, kind of like a piece of cloth that's unfolded. Right, the eye being single, it carries the contrasting idea of double or blurry vision, almost if you were to squint your eyes. And so notice, a focused eye, a focused heart, it sees God's kingdom as the ultimate, while a blurry eye or an evil eye, evil focus, it represents this divided priorities. And listen, with good eyesight, we walk straight, right? You see clearly, you avoid accidents. With damaged eyesight, you stumble. Even on just uneven ground, you fall downstairs, you bump into obstacles, you trip over your own 2 feet. The eye, it regulates the motion of the body, right? To have an object distinctly in view, it's necessary in order to correctly regulate the action of the body. Proverbs 4, verse 23 said, keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips. Put far from thee, let thine eyes look right on. And let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Listen, just as a clear eye, it helps the body move confidently. Right? A spiritually focused heart enables us to walk confidently in light of God's truth. So Jesus says, in order that your conduct may be right, it's important that you fix your affections on the things of heaven. In order for you to be more like Christ, it's important that you fix your affections on the things of Christ. Therefore, having this single eye or this faith, singularly focused, steady, unwavering, right? Therefore, all your conduct will then be correspondent because our focus determines our direction. Right? Jesus goes on to warn that no man then can serve two masters. Right, verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he's going to hate the one, he's going to love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and man. And James 1:8, he went on to say, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. What competes for your loyalty? Is it success? Comfort, approval from others? Because listen, choices and actions are guided by what you value most. And the truth is that trying to balance devotion to God with a love for material things is only going to result in spiritual darkness, right? When we're juggling multiple priorities, faith, wealth, comfort, and approval, we're ultimately going to drop what matters most. Jesus is our ultimate treasure. Right? Christ's value is, it's incomparable. Right? Notice the change even in the Apostle Paul's priority once he encountered and surrendered his life to Christ. He said this to the Philippians in chapter 3 in verse 7. He says, but what things were gained to me? Those things that I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Paul writes that everything that I once considered valuable, every single earthly treasure that I once held dear to me, my education, my heritage, all of these things that made me important, right? All of these things that I staked my claim, so to speak, on are but garbage. They pale in comparison to Jesus Christ. Right, our priorities then, once we have a singular focus on Jesus as our ultimate treasure, our priorities can shift, our values can change, our lives then can align with his kingdom. It was A.W. Tozer who asserted in his book, The Pursuit of God, he said that the man who has God for his treasure has all things in one. Right, consider the treasure of his sacrifice. Right, Jesus himself is the greatest treasure because what he did for us on the cross, right? His sacrifice, it's not just this moment in history. Listen, he purchased eternal life for you, right? That is a treasure of immeasurable value, one that will never fade, one that can never perish, right? He told Nicodemus that God loved the world so much he gave his only begotten son. And that whoever believes in him wouldn't perish, but he can have everlasting life. Right? Listen, his love and his grace, it far surpasses anything that we could ever acquire on this earth. Right? Is God your treasure? Right? He assured us of his love. He sent his son. Right? He sent his son, the most esteemed treasure of all, to die on our behalf. He assured his love for you. God commended his love, Paul wrote in Romans 5:8, towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He proved it. See, the Bible teaches that all have sinned. All come short of the glory of God. The Bible teaches that there's a wage for that sin. It's as if our sin has built a barrier between us and God. It's making it impossible for us to get to God on our own, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. How do I then accept that gift? How do I obtain that gift? Paul went on to say in Romans 10, verse 9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, right, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, you should be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And he went on to say, lest you think that somehow this excludes you, he says, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you've never done that, I'd encourage you today. You can call out upon the name of the Lord today. Right? Don't put it off till tomorrow. We don't have a blank check on tomorrow. James said, our life is like a vapor. It appears for a little bit of time, and then it just vanishes away. Who's to say that your heart will be tender towards the things of the Lord tomorrow? If you're not saved, if you haven't called upon the name of the Lord to be saved for salvation, if you've yet to repent of your sins and run to Jesus for forgiveness, do that today. If you need help with that when we enter in the invitation here in a couple minutes, and you just come forward. There'll be some people up here. We have the Word of God. We'd love to show you how you can know for sure today that you have a home in heaven. Christian, believers, I asked this earlier, but I want to ask this again as we're kind of ramping down. If we were to analyze your bank account, right, if someone were to take a look at it, and they took a look at your calendar, your schedule, what would they conclude is most important to you? What would they conclude is the number one priority in your family? I want to challenge you this week, man. Take some time. Write something down. Write one thing down that you treasure and spend some time reflecting on that. Reflecting on whether it aligns with God's kingdom. Luke chapter 12, it relays to us the idea that to whom much is given, much is required. Do your resources, your talents, your time, does it further God's kingdom? Or does it just indulge yourself? How would you explain it to Christ face to face? Matthew chapter 13, Jesus tells us a parable and he says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and he bought it. Right? This is this merchant man. He's searching for this great pearl. He recognizes its worth. He sells everything to possess it. And this is a picture of what we should value, right? The true value of Christ. He is the pearl of great price. He is worth sacrificing every single thing in your life for. Right, when we understand that he's the ultimate treasure, we're willing to part then with these temporary comforts, these temporary even relationships that keep us further from him or pursuits that may try to take his place inside of our hearts. Right, and just as the merchant sold everything to possess that pearl, we are called to surrender all to gain Christ. Jesus asked this question in Matthew chapter 16. He asked in verse 26, trying to prepare his disciples. He says, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Thomas A. Kempis, he wrote this. It's a lengthy quote, but we'll close our time with this. He said, this is great wisdom. To seek the kingdom of heaven through contempt of the world. It is vanity, therefore, to seek and trust in riches that perish. It is vanity also to court honor and to be puffed up with pride. It is vanity to follow the lusts of the body and the desire things for which severe punishment later must come. It's a vanity even to wish for long life and to care little about a life well spent. It's vanity to be concerned with the present only and not make provision for things to come. It's vanity to love what passes quickly and not look ahead to where eternal joy abides. Right? Christ himself is the epitome of heaven's treasure, aligning your life, aligning our lives with his, right, is a practical step that we must take in this new year, in building these treasures in heaven. Man, I hope that you'll take the opportunity this week and do a little bit of a treasure inventory in your life and figure out where is your heart. Would you please stand with me as we're entering into a moment of invitation? We'll not belabor this moment. It'll be short. I'm going to pray, and then after we pray, the altar will be open. And again, as we always say, the altar is not it's not a place of embarrassment. You don't have to be ashamed to come before the throne, right? Rather, we're coming, we're just acknowledging, I'm needy, I have a need. We're needy people before an almighty, all-powerful God. And again, after I pray, if you've never called upon the name of the Lord to be saved, I just challenge you, step out. Step out. Nobody in this building is going to judge you. You step out, you come forward. We love to take the word of God and show you how you can know for sure that you have a home in heaven today. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for your son. our ultimate treasure. Thank you for the treasure of his ultimate sacrifice on our behalf for the forgiveness of our sins. God, I pray that if there's one here today that is on the fence, you continue to work and move through your spirit, convict them of their sin, God, that they may repent and run to you. Work and move in this moment of invitation in a way that only you can. God, work and move in our hearts as we seek to do a little bit of a treasure inventory, to really check our hearts, to check our schedules, to check our credit cards, our bank statements, so to speak, and look and see where do we place things in our life? How do they stack up against heaven? God, help us to just be honest and real with ourselves. Give us the courage to then adjust our lives according to your word and not vice versa. Work and move through this time of invitation in a way that only you can, Lord. We pray this in your name.